Well, let me review chapter 2. We talked about Christ being our advocate before God. He stands before the throne of God declaring, "Your full wrath has been met in me. Thy people which thou hast given me are clean in my blood." And then we see him as the propitiation or the covering for our sins. That referred back to the mercy seat, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the two cherubims who look one to another because they're works agreed in one, and Christ is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. Our sins are covered in His blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. And the next week, last week, we talked about hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We went back to Ezekiel 36 and brought forth where the Lord God Himself said to the children of Israel, but pertaining to the whole house of Israel, Jew and Gentile alike, that not for your sakes, boy, does that not dispel a lot of Arminianism? Not for your sakes do I this, but for mine holy name's sake. And there are several things there. I will, that God said He would do, and those He has done and still continues to do today. But the bottom line was to show that God said, "I will take away your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will cause you to loathe your former selves, what you are by nature." We use that to show that if you know God, if you love God, if you love the brotherhood, and that's what 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John is about, the brotherhood. Remember, this was written in a time about 90 to 96 AD. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The first century church was being persecuted highly by Papal Rome, by other elements in the world, which is one reason we'll see shortly when we get there. They were of us, but they were not of us because they went out from us. They left the true church under the guise of Satan, called Antichrist. They began to persecute the church. They began to preach false doctrine. Now, I'm not against Catholics. I've said that before. What they do is their business. I'm not a part of it. Care absolutely nothing about it. Do not even know what they believe or worship this day and age. I'm giving you recorded history when I tell you that Papist Rome would hang Baptists that would not accept their baptism and burn them at the stake. Now, that's in history. So, I do not mean to offend you. I mean to give you history. But we came down to where we prove the point by Scripture that if you love God, the only way you can love Him is God in you. If you keep His commandments, it's because God has put a heart of flesh within you. I will place my spirit within you. We came to the New Testament. One place, Philippians. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God putting His spirit in you, God giving you life, is the only way that you have any way of keeping the commandment of God. To rebut these false doctrines, it's important. We've become so politically correct this day, we won't rebut false doctrine. We ought not talk about false doctrine. Why not? The Bible does. Paul said, "Let them be accursed." Said it twice. If they bring any other gospel unto you than that which we had delivered unto you, what was that? Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Him crucified. And let Him be accursed. Now, we are sheep. We talked that before the service. Everybody in a panic over something that hadn't happened yet. We're sheep. We have to be led. God's people are gullible. God sends the ministry to teach them. And when a God-called minister steps out of line and preaches lies, God have mercy on him because he's going to need it. But we must expect those who are not gods for their own personal pleasure or their own personal fame or for greenback dollar bills to preach lies and hypocrisy. If you want to fill this building up, Start bringing in worldly things and watch it fill. If it is still a church, it has lost its identity. Let's move forward. Let's go down to verse 7. He's told us in verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him, Christ, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. We went back to John 14 and 15. Jesus said he gives us a commandment that we are to love, both chapters, 14 and 15. That we are to love each other as he loved us. Christ gave his life for us. The Son of God came down from heaven, died upon a cross of Calvary, saved us from our sins, ascended back to the right hand of the majesty on high. He and he alone saved us from our sins. In him and him alone we have salvation. We were previously dead in trespassing sins. We were previously Gentiles in the flesh. We were previously far away and without God, even the world. Even the geography, as we went through Genesis up to chapter 12, in the days of Noah, even the geography shows us of the Gentiles being far away from the land that God gave to Abraham. And spiritually, we certainly were also. Because we knew not God. We were without God in the world. And Christ loved us and saved us. That's why he said, he that saith he abideth in him also ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Love, love, love. Are we to love the world? God forbid. This book of John, all three of these little epistles, are talking about the brethren. As a matter of fact, later on we're going to see, he that loveth the brethren. He's not talking about loving wicked people. He's not talking about loving evil people. He's not talking about loving people that are not children of God. Period. Now there is a love that we love them with. If he is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. If he is naked, clothe him. There's a love that should be given to every man. But the love that John begins to speak about in this next verse, chapter 7, and walking as Christ walked, is a love that is a brotherly love. It comes in a family way. It comes in a way that comes from our Father, God in heaven. For God is love. He that does not know God does not love. Period. That's cut and dried. God is love. If God is not in you, you can love absolutely nothing but yourself. You cannot love God. You cannot love the brotherhood. You cannot love the church. There were many who professed to love the church. John made the thing, the example. If they walk in the way that God tells us not to walk, then the love of God is not in them. They may say they love God. They may say they love the brotherhood. But they do not. It is a lie. John plainly states that out. And they are liars. Now, verse 7. Brethren, who's he writing to? The church. Jew and Gentile. Brethren. Brethren how? Not by birth, by Christ, by Spirit. Every race, every family, every kindred, every tongue, every both genders. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning in the law. God commanded his people, Israel, to love each other. He expressed a brotherly love that they were to have one for another. But a heart not born of God cannot love. I don't care who believes all Israel are of Israel, when the Bible plainly says they are not all Israel who are of Israel. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, nor can he, because he's spiritually discerned. He cannot love. John is writing to brethren, born of the Spirit of God, by the hand of God, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Back to 1 John 1:1, He which was from the beginning, the Creator of heaven and earth. Alright, that's in the law. Law was given that we might know sin, that when the time came, we might know grace. Let's go back to the beginning. How did God create and make? He set it forth in love. Everything was good and upright in God's love of His people. The only two people in the world at that time loved each other. And they loved God who walked with them daily as the pre-incarnate Son of God. And then, in the rebellion of Satan, here is hate. Here is hate and sin and violence. I don't care which sin you pick out of every sin man is known to have. We're all sinners. What the world was greatly condemned for was two things. Rebellion to God and violence fill the earth. Rebellion to God and hate. We were commanded and created to love and to love one another. This is the old commandment. This is the original, the first commandment, that we love each other in the way that a brother is supposed to love a brother in the church today. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Love, love, love. Romans 13:10, I believe. Love is the fulfilling of the law. This entire universe, this entire earth, everything, could I say universe? How many millions of universes are there declaring the glory of God? But everything is that we love God and we love each other in Christ. God's children, brethren. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true in Him and in you? A new commandment I write unto you. John 13:34. Read words. The Lord said them. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. He's talking about brethren in Christ. He's talking about the church. Do not be deceived that we're supposed to accept and condone the wickedness and love the wicked in a brotherly way. That is not Bible fact. Bible fact is brother should love brother. We even take people that commit heinous crimes, such as things I won't mention with a child in here, and we feed them. And we clothe them because it is the godly thing to do. My fifth night of working in a state prison, we pulled up to West Jefferson Prison. The lights were out, had a thunderstorm. People inside were going crazy, doing the things they do in darkness. We went inside and we quelled that. Somebody asked me, why did you do that? Why didn't you let them have each other? Because it is not the right thing to do. You do what is right in the eye of God. And you had our job, our responsibility was to save even the evil from the evil in that capacity. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And I'm quite sure there were some of God's children within that fence too. I'll say that. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. There's the kicker. To glorify God. If you have love one to another. Again, a new commandment. What is it? It's the same commandment. Love one another. Brethren, the church, which thing is true in him and in you. It's true in him because God is love. It's true in you because God dwells within you if you are in the brotherhood. If you're born of God, you had no choice of being born of God, just as you have absolutely no choice in being born of your parents. You did not love your mother until you were born. Well, that may not be true. I actually believe a child loves its mother from inside the womb. It's connected to her. But you do not love your father, meaning the man, until you realize who he is. You do not love God the Father until you realize that he is your Father. And that comes by revelation from the Spirit of God. Nature teaches us of things of God. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is now past of your soul, and the true light now come. In the beginning was the Word was God, was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 is my point. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light of God, Jesus Christ, shined in your heart and drove that darkness away. The darkness is now past. You're born of God, little children. He said, don't believe these liars. Don't believe this false doctrine. Don't believe these teachings and so-called miracles that men deceive you with by so-called acts of their hands. And the true light now shineth, and that in your heart. I'll give you something I thought about when Steve mentioned Corinthians. We can do all things, but we're nothing if we don't have love. Everything in this world will pass away. Even our faith. Because when we die, we're with Christ. And we don't need faith anymore. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We will see him as he is. The only thing that will carry from this world into heaven and immortal glory is the love that God placed within your heart. Where was I? Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, that's not possible. This is not saying that we're not going to get mad and have fights. That's why Matthew 18, where Steve was reading from, teaches us, he gives us an example, that if you've got a problem with your brother, you go see him. If you got a problem with your brother and he won't listen to you, you take two or three with you. He won't hear them, take it to the church. And then, when the church rules, the offender and the one offended must live by the church's judgment. That's what the Bible teaches. That is to bring us through all our nature of Adam and hatred, and the love of God rules as judgment in our heart. There were two ministers down here in the 40s when this church was opened. One of them was my great-grandfather, or my grandfather's uncle. He's not my great-grandfather. He's kin somehow. Aaron Hartsfield. They had a problem. They had a conference. And two visiting preachers in the congregation told my kinfolk, "You're filled with the spirit of Antichrist. You need to sit down and we need to pray." And that they did. That's church judgment and ruling in the way God would have it to keep order between brethren. How many times shall I forgive him? 70 times 7, 490 times. If thy brother, here's another one. If thy brother hath aught against thee, if I find out my brother's mad against me, remember Christ's sacrifice? Then I need, if I'm in the act of bringing my offering to the altar, then I need to leave my gift at the altar. And I need to go to my brother who's mad at me. And I need to make it right with my brother who's mad at me, if possible. This is all dealing with brethren. This is dealing with church brethren. That's man and woman. Brotherhood in the church. I'm going to tell you this, too. I can remember years gone by when we'd strain at a gnat and swallow a camel and keep so much trouble up. We kept trouble up the church. Biggest problem no Baptist have ever had, shooting himself in the foot. And then, well, that sister over there's got a problem. Well, she don't matter. She's not a brother. Oh, good grief. Come out of the Stone Age. God's children are important, each and every one, male and female. God set an order for us to live in a family, and that's important to keep the way God would have things to be in the family. But there's not a child of God, whether if they're old enough to hear, if they're old enough to understand, that doesn't have a right to come into the church. And every child of God is just as important one as another. Why? Because the Son of God died for them. And that's enough for me. He that loves his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Yes, we can fall. I'm prone to get angry. I'm prone to get mad. I hate wickedness. I hate evil. By God's grace, I don't spend much time around that anymore. I come to church and I'm with my family, and that's about the extent of it, and I'm glad of that. He's saying, he that loves his brother is not going to fall forever. None occasion of stumbling, been cast aside forever. But he that hateth his brother and walketh in darkness, he that does not have the Spirit of God in him and knoweth not whither he goeth, because darkness has blinded his eyes. Remember the text. The text is John trying to teach them to avoid false prophets, false teachings, persecution upon the church, and remain in the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. I write unto you, little children, because your sins, little children, newcomers to the faith, are forgiven you for his name's sake. When I think of this, I think of Gentiles. Previously, were Gentiles in the flesh, far off from God, who God had brought unto the church. I write unto you, fathers, and the kingdom, who have known God for some time, because ye have known him, that is, from the beginning, Christ. I write unto you, young men, that's not me anymore, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Here we go again. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. There's evidence of that already. He's making a point. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. What does that tell me? That tells me that's an elect child of God. I've written to you, little children, because you've known the Father. Now you're born of the Spirit. You're in the brotherhood. You know God. I've written to you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. That's from a verse before. Repeated. Fathers in the faith. fathers in the church, pillars in the church. You have known him that is from the beginning. Perhaps from the beginning of your conversion, perhaps you've known him as the beginning. Either way, they're fathers. And they have known him. And they're established. They're fathers. He's writing to them. If a man who is a father in the church and has the wisdom of God in his heart can be deceived of Antichrist, do we not see that we also can be? I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And then he makes the reason why he's writing to them these things. What has he written to them? He began writing of Christ, that which was from the beginning. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is manifested in Christ. There's no darkness in God. He's our advocate. He's our covering, our mercy seat, our propitiation. If you know him, you're born of him. If you love him, you're born of him. If you love him, you're born of spirit. If you love the church, you're born of spirit. You don't have to do anything to do that. You don't have to change anything to do that. You cannot work unto it. It's all by the mercy and grace of God. No matter who you are, Jew or Gentile. Now our duty is to love the brotherhood. Our duty is to love God first and foremost. Mentioned last week in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Man asked the Lord, a lawyer, if memory serves me right, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you cannot do anything to inherit anything. That's evident. Inheritance comes through another. He said, thou knowest the commandments. Love God first and foremost, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is what's important. Love, mercy, and forgiveness. That's what he's telling. That's what he's telling these fathers. That's what he's telling these young men. That's what he's telling these children in the faith. In verse 15, he says, love not the world. Now I'm going to tell you, forgive me, I'm weak and I hurt and I have a hard time sometimes with this. I love to see what God created. You can't see much of the sun, of the stars anymore because of the light pollution, man-made things. That ought to go along with Antichrist, shouldn't it? But I love to get out. I love to see the mountains and the valleys, rivers and streams, and came over the mountain down below. Everything been dormant for months is now coming to life in all shades, different colors. Every spring I look at that and I think of all the children of God that God gives life from amongst all mankind. I love the world. I love nature. I love what God created. That's not what this is saying. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Understand that. The love of the Father is not in him. We are dealing with Antichrist, false doctrine, persecution of that time in the church. It's no different. It's here today. They hate Jesus Christ. They are not of Jesus Christ. It is not given to them to know Jesus Christ as we do. And why I do not know. I don't know how God could love me. I'm sickened in my own sight. But the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world, hear what we're talking about, the lust of the flesh, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. And he rebelled the lust of the flesh, The lust of the eye, seeing beautiful things, coveting after them, things that do not belong to you, things another man or woman worked for and had. Just as a brief example. And here's the kicker in my eyes. The pride of life. We have no pride. Our joy, our pride should be in Christ, God's glory. For all that we have is in Him. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. Give me 2 minutes and I'll shut up. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm 61 years old this month. I hate this world. I hate our society. I hate how society has changed since I was a child and what I was taught. I hate what this generation accepts and calls normal. I hate the way God's institutions have been changed. I hate the same thing that have been around since then and maybe were not as manifest then as they are now. But I hate this world. I despise it. I want to leave here. I want to die. I want to go be with my Savior. And I thank God that each day I get closer to that. But this world passeth away. And the lust thereof, all the sin of this world, the earth will be cast into the lake of fire, not to cleanse it, but to destroy it. All the sin and death of this world will be consumed at the coming of the Lord, Matthew 25:31. As He comes in His glory, our God is a consuming fire. Everything in this world passeth away. I'm so thankful I don't have to live 500-600 years like those in early creation and have to endure this place that long. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now you hear this. John's already told us. If you do the will of God, it is God who has placed Himself within you, caused you to love Him, calls you to love the brotherhood, calls you to love the church. That's why you do love God. That's why you do keep the commandments of God. Keep it all in context. And then you see, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.